always a good time to get the NFL family together, and game is very strong. We had a historic, beautiful season that obviously didn't end the way we wanted it to, but really proud of our guys. And great to see Joe Ortiz and some of our family members, Mike McDonald and others, you know, with new helmets and whatnot on, but certainly still within the Ravens family. So it's been a good couple days. We plan to get some good work done today and tomorrow, and then head back and head towards the draft. So happy to open it up. Let me know what questions you guys have. It's been tremendous. I always want to commend Lamar, Eric, John, Steve, just watching all sides work through what was a really tough negotiation, circumstantially, even before you got to just trying to resign a one-time, two-time MVP. But he's been great in terms of coming back in and really buying in. And I thought Eric and John and Oz and Steve did a great job just sticking through it last year. And, you know, really putting some pieces around him so that he could feel successful and see the commitment to him as well. And he had an awesome season. I mean, couldn't really ask for more. So, you know, really proud of the entire group and had a great season.
We're
in constant communication with our players. John does a really nice job. He has something that's really called the Veterans Committee. And so he'll take some of our vets and really get feedback. We want to continue to do that. Last year we made a number of changes, and we'll continue to do that as we move forward. But the feedback is something we always love. Steve's very clear. We want to have the best football operation in the NFL and one of the best in the world. We believe we do, and we continue to. I think this year the travel made it really tough, honestly. We traveled London. Many of you guys were with us on a lot of those trips. Christmas in San Francisco at night is not accommodating. So none of those are excuses, but we feel proud about where our program is and continues to be, and we'll continue to evolve and work on it. No, I think the travel was the one that I mentioned, that I think for us, no change in terms of what we do. In fact, we have made some enhancements to our program, but we hear loud and clear, and having spent time in another league that travels and plays on a lot of holidays, I know this is a common tough one for athletes, so we hear that loud and clear, and really putting thought around when we have a long trip or several long trips over the course of the season, what can we do to really engage our players and make prepare them not only to play on game day, but also just think about the toll on them as well. We have, and ticket prices, so I think you guys know this, we go off and on again. So we raise ticket prices every other year just to keep up. And the league has been strong. Live entertainment has been strong. We've seen it with concerts and sports. And so we will, to remain competitive, raise our ticket prices. The other thing we're going to do is rezone our stadium. And so right now we'll have, you know, a season ticket member that might be sitting 30 rows back in the same section. Traditionally, really everyone's paid the same price. We're going to look at some variety in the zoning. And that's coming out to Baker Koppelman, who runs that program with us. He does a great job at being in communication with our season ticket holders on that. So, yeah, you'll see the normal ticket prices, and we're going to stick with that every other year increase. And so it gives season ticket holders the opportunity to lock in prices over 2 years and know that they have that, and then plan for an increase every other year.
Especially with season tickets, you know, some of this is a wide trend, but also anecdotalness because season ticket holders. So it does seem like in recent years that maybe this is just for society's going, like concerns on getting over the seats and time to advance, and times you can't make it to all the games, reselling, things of that nature. Where do you see that going in terms of season tickets compared to 5, 10 years ago, just general trends, and what can you do to combat that? You know,
So the industry trends here, you've hit them. The first thing we need to do is have a great game day experience at M&T Bank Stadium, and we're proud and very focused on the fact that we came in as the number one game day entertainment experience in the league, voted on. So there's been a lot of new stadiums built, billions of dollars spent, and M&T and our game day crew, Michelle and Jay and Brad and his team, they do a phenomenal job for us. So that's the first thing, and that's in part because we have such a great fan base, so the flock shows up for us. The second thing I would say, just in terms of what we've seen with mobile ticketing and some of the platforms, began with StubHub but has now evolved into a number of players, Ticketmaster and Ticket Exchange coming around, and then you see, you know, our partnership with SeatGeek was really about empowerment of our season ticket holders. And we want to put a lot of value back into our fans that come out and buy and show up to games. And so one of the things that we've continued to do over the course of the last year is really communicate and try to educate those who might have activities, travel. We even have some veterans that actually are overseas but don't want to give up their PSLs. And so what these platforms allow people to do is really empower them to get to the secondary market so they can maintain their season ticket, but also go out and certainly sell for the games that they can't come to. Having said that, we want them there every game, but we know that's not the reality for the way the modern schedule works for most people on the weekends. But we showed up for the AFC Championship. I can't tell you how proud I was just looking out at the stadium, and it was purple and black. We had some specks of red in there, but it was the flop, you know, en masse and loud early and the whole game through. So we really love the flock and can't thank them enough for all the support over the past year, and get ready, get those lungs ready for next year too. Yeah, I didn't hear the first question. Balancing what with the zoning? Yeah, so the zones will be pretty clear, and Baker and his team and Cody and our BI team do a great job of just looking at all that data. We have all that data in our system, and so, you know, we really look at breakpoints and try to make sure that we're doing something that's fair and relative to the value that each season ticket holder is getting. So, you know, if I'm in row 27, it's different than I'm having a first front row experience. And so that's an extreme case, but we look at that through, you know, all the different levels and different sections. As for the construction, really excited. You know, this year we'll get probably about a quarter of the way through our build, a third of the way through our build. Three phases, 24, 25, 26 is the schedule. So highlights this year will be certainly the Miller Lite Gatehouse, which is on the east side, faces the railroad tracks, Fed Hill, and we'll have a roof deck on that where you can see almost over into the Inner Harbor. So we're excited about that, and that's, you know, an opportunity for really every fan to come there and experience that. And then secondarily, we'll have the Blackwing Suites, which we're going to bring on, which are just two of the, you know, kind of premium products that will enhance into, you know, this opportunity. So we're excited about both those coming online. And then we're hard at work continuing to finish up designs on our 25 and 26 product projects, which will bring the plaza online, retail stores. So we've got a lot moving. I think all really beneficial and helpful in terms of driving more value to the game day experience and the fan experience, but also season ticket holders who buy and support us every week, come down to the bank to see us win games.
With the renovations that might display some of the PSLs, how do you go about finding them new seats and maintaining the community that they had, for ones that have been there for a long time, last night?
Yeah, engage with them, you know, is the main thing. And so Baker's group has had a series of calls to inform, educate, listen, and gather information from them, and then craft solutions for them. So, you know, the reality is most modernization of stadiums, when you build new, you don't have to deal with this, but most modernization stadiums, with teams really bringing arena stadium, trying to bring fans closer to the action, means some type of renovation of especially lower bowl seating, moving, creating different products. And so in our instance, we have on the west side a number of PSL holders that will be displaced, and Baker's been working, and his team have been working very hard with them, made a lot of progress there, and continue to work with them. Listen is the main thing, and to hear them in terms of what's important for them. And we've been working really for the last 18 months on acquiring some inventory where people want to have some optionality there. So we'll work through that over the next really month and a half. So we actually won't lose much capacity, because even the seats that are being swapped out, we replace with different products and inventory. So it's a very immaterial change in terms of the overall capacity. Some of that's still being worked out. You guys also know in 24 we'll add the field seats that you've seen in different stadiums like Carolina and Philadelphia and San Francisco. And so we'll have about 160, 170 seats that'll be on the field closest to the action that you can get that we'll add in 24. So I failed to share that earlier, but that's certainly one of the other 24 projects that we're really excited about. So you add 170 seats there, plus the offsets, you know, elsewhere. No major change is the headline. We started really broad, Jensen, and we looked at really all options. What we felt was demand was strong. The other thing I'd say is just when you're trying to retrofit a stadium, it's extremely expensive to do pretty much anything now. And certainly to take capacity out is cost, because you really want to take it out of the upper bowl. So that's hard to do. And we did look at that early with MSA. They've been, by the way, I should thank Phil Hudson and Kelly Smolovitz that have been working tirelessly at MSA in partnership with our stadium ops group, and our architects and construction folks come up with a great program. But I would say as we looked at that option, it just wasn't feasible for us to reduce the capacity. We feel good. I mean, you guys were there. When we've got prime time games, that stadium's full and it's loud and it's intimidating. I think a lot of that was borne out in all the media coverage through what was a great season with some prime time games and huge playoff games where it was loud and not a place that you want to play. So we're cautious about doing anything that would take noise out of our stadium. Home field advantage. Yeah, I should, one, just send great respects to Angelo's family, and obviously the recent news of Patriarch's passing, and Peter's passing, and so, they've been brothers in Camden with us, across the complex. Certainly, they had a tremendous season last year. I think the future is right there. The new ownership group, we are just in early phases of getting to know them. We're excited about that. Their reputation precedes them. I know a little bit about them from other interactions with them previously, but I think David's going to be a great thing for Baltimore, and we look forward to working closely with him. We have some stuff that's coming, Jeff, but if I said too much, my team would shoot me before I got back to the building. So, but we, with respect to the league, first of all, obviously is the one that sets parameters in terms of uniforms. We feel like we have really classic jerseys, and I think the team did a great job when we've had some minor modifications. So we're really cautious about, making changes, something that we think really works well. And, the optionality that you see, particularly in other leagues, with different types of jerseys, color rush has been tried. So we're exploring some things with some of the alternative jerseys. But as for now, we're really happy with the way our jerseys stand up.
So any changes would just be alternative, it wouldn't be classic.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you've got some ideas, you know. I know you know John well, and any place, anytime, put a ball out there, we're ready to go. Having said that, we know that we'll be, with Lamar coming off a second MVP season, number one seed in the AFC and the NFL, kind of going into the postseason, and an exciting team coming back with adding Derrick Henry and others, you know, this offseason, re-signing Justin, we'll be competitive again. So we are confident that, you know, the schedules will take that into account. We're ready to play on primetime. Hopefully some of those primetime games are at home in front of the flock.
Have you heard anything about how long you start the season off against the Miles?
I have not. If you hear something, let me know.
Sashi, along those lines, do you guys not expect to go back to overseas or play international games this year?
We would not expect to be in an international game in successive years, correct? We know there's an expansion, and we're supportive of the expansion of the game internationally, but I think they still are very cautious to put, other than Jacksonville, who has kind of raised their hands, I think they're still very cautious in terms of sending teams over. You all saw the operation. It's not an easy task to get over there, but I think the league's been really thoughtful and flexible in terms of helping teams and getting them support when they go over. So we had a good time over there. Obviously, it's more helpful when you win. But I thought the stadium that we played in over at Spurs was fantastic, and our opportunity to get our players over there was a neat experience. But, you know, we're focused, and 6 days later, we're playing another one. So, you know, it's never easy coming overseas. But it's something, as we say, we're ready for. I don't think anything that's in the super short term, but we wake up and go to sleep thinking about our fans and how we can support the best game day experience possible and fan experience for them possible. That includes the value proposition of coming down to M&T Bank Stadium. It's not an insignificant amount of time. You know, people come and spend their Sundays with them. We want them to leave exhilarated. And so that's our charge from Steve. That's my charge to the team, and they've done a hell of a job this year, and we'll continue to next year. So we're constantly evolving that. The second thing is just how do we support John and Eric and the football team always. You know, that's central to us. And then thirdly, and we'll have some announcements coming in the next, you know, couple months around a lot of our community initiatives, and we've got some big heavy lifts and investments on that front that we're really proud of, and we're going to get into details because we're still putting the final touches on that. But I think, you know, seeing Steve's investment through Blackbird last year was really special, and you know, I think it provides a lot of value and potential for the Baltimore region. So we're constantly looking for ways that we can impact positively and deeply. Yeah, we've begun talks with the NFL. The draft has become such a major tentpole event for the league. A lot of cities are interested in it. We think Baltimore is a great venue for it. We've talked to the league. We're also talking to the folks that are developing the Inner Harbor around some of the things that we might be able to do between the stadium and there. So TBD, and certainly we'd have to convince the NFL it's the right venue for them, but we'll put that pressure on ourselves to try to bring one to Baltimore in the relatively near future. They're already 3 or 4 years out, so you know, we're working on that, and certainly it's within our scope. yet. No, I don't think we have not thought or talked to the league about a Super Bowl. So that would be something.
Anything else?
Have you know what's happened with say, and you know, it sounds like you guys are optimistic that nothing will come of it, but has that prompted discussions with the organization, team officials, about what exactly the zero tolerance policy for this team is? I know we're more than a decade past what happened with Ray Rice and everything, but we kind of fans ask exactly what that means in light of everything that happened a decade ago, and that was brought up with this offseason.
Always take these issues serious. An issue that may be affecting our players, and certainly this issue is no different. Very hard, no change in terms of our philosophy and approach. Very hard. Circumstances are always complicated for us, for the league that investigates it, for law enforcement. And we're not at a point yet, as you guys have reported, where there's been anything to act on, but we're monitoring it closely to determine what comes of it, if anything, and if and when we get there, we'll manage it. But no change otherwise.
Good.
Good.
Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it.